Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what's odd? I don't know if you knew this, Hoff. Today is the first day of school. Like, my daughter went to her first day of school today. I was like, sorry, Daddy's got to go to do work. I'm on vacation, yes, but I'm going to go do the show out on Long Island. I didn't even get a chance to see her for her first day of school. It's August 27th. What are we doing with first day of school? Your kids have school?
No, they're still off. No, they're still off.
Is that a Jersey thing?
I must be, because I'm telling you right now, Westchester, they're still chilling. The feet are up.
Yeah,
they're relaxing.
I don't know, man.
After Labor Day. Right?
I would think. It's August 27th. I want to enjoy the summer. Like, come on. I mean, I guess you can enjoy it, too, with the kids going back to school. But in our case, no, I need Sammy home. We want to go to a water park maybe tomorrow, whatever it may be. Where the hell is I going with that? I don't know. But it is the first day of school in some spots. Here, it's a beautiful beach day, nice and cool, not too hot. Surf sides are flowing. So if you're in the area, come by and say hello. I know Jerry Recko will be here. Him and I will be hanging out all afternoon long at the Salt Shack in Babylon. 888-808-1019. Obviously a big game going on tonight with the Mets and the Phillies. Mets looking for the sweep. And that's the only thing to me that would make them still be in the division hunt here. If they don't sweep tonight, you can forget about that. And also, I'll take it a step further. It's not really about the division. Of course, we all want the Mets to win the division. If you're a Mets fan, you want the Mets to win the division. But as long as they get in, they can do damage. It's not, oh, anybody could get in the playoffs and go, I mean, you get in the playoffs, you hope anything can happen, but there's reason to believe that the Mets can be a dangerous team if they were, in fact, to get in the postseason. So even if you miss out on the division, everything is still there. I'm not to hate to use the Boone cliche. Everything is still right there in front of them, but it is. Other than the big concern about who's your eighth inning pitcher, because Helsley is not that. And by the way, you saw the Phillies prize acquisition at the trade deadline. Johan Duran get roughed up last night with the Mets. And Nimmo gets credit for the walk-off hit. Really, it was Marte came up with the big hit. It's the guys who got on before him that set the table for a game that you knew once the Mets had second and third with nobody out, they were going to win that game regardless of who came up. So, yes, Nimmo got the job done in the big spot, but really Marte has given the Mets some quality at bat, just a pro, even in with declined skills. And I don't love the idea of having him hitting in the three-hole, but it's worked out with Mendy going with either Nimmo or Marte in that three-hole. Between Soto and Alonso, it's worked out for him in recent days here. The Mets lineup has been on fire. Vientos catching fire, so that's good to see with the offense. But even the Phillies prize acquisition at the deadline, Duran getting roughed up last night. So it's not just Helsley, although Duran has been significantly better than Helsley. But the Philly fans got to be upset. This was their big games of the year, too. Two biggest games of the year, and they've gotten punked yet again by the Mets. But all it takes is one win for Philadelphia tonight. They are back in control, back in the driver's seat as far as it pertains to the NL East. So the Mets need to make sure they finish the job, make these first two wins stick, and go sweep the Phils and really get back into the hunt for the division. Anthony is on Staten Island. What's up, Ant?
What's up, Sal? I have the answer for the eighth inning role. We have a two-time All-Star who was at Clay Holmes. He's at his pitch limits. We could bring Sproat up to take his start instead of using him as a reliever, which he's never done before, and put Holmes in the eighth inning. He's done it before. I think that's the move.
I think that's probably the best solution that I've heard so far, Anthony, and it's something, and thank you for the call, it's something that I've thought about prior to this last two-week stretch. Matter of fact, I tweeted about it a couple of weeks ago. After Holmes' rough start, I don't know if it was, not his last time definitely, I think it was two starts ago, and he had another rough start, not given any length. I said, move Holmes to the bullpen, call up Tong and Sproat. It might have even been before McClain got called up. So that's not a bad solution. The problem is that I think Holmes is one of their best three starters. Right now, and we're talking about, I guess you could be talking about regular season. I'm talking about postseason here. Right now, I would say that Peterson would be my lock number one, game one starter. I think you'd have to have McClain, even though it's been two starts, and we'll see what happens tonight. But he's the. I'm just going in order of confidence that I have in these starters. McLean would be number two. I think Holmes would be number three. I don't trust Kodai Senga. You trust Kodai Senga right now? And I trust Manaea, but I trust him in spurts. So maybe the way to start Manaea would be to have a piggyback. Maybe it's Holmes and Manaea in a game. Or, to your point, if you have Sproat get called up, you know, Tong is already here. Could it be Tong and then have somebody piggyback him in that rotation? Could it be somebody piggybacking Senga, Manaea? Like, the Mets can have a combination of, if you start, let's say you start Holmes, have then Manaea finish the game. And now that gives you length, obviously, but you have two guys doing it. Or if it's Manaea and then you have Sproat piggyback him. Like, there are ways to do it. As of right now, it seems like the plan is to be a starter with Tong. I would have had him come out of the bullpen, but maybe he could start. I mean, can you imagine a rotation of the postseason with Peterson, McLean, and Tong? And if you do that, then you can move Holmes back to the bullpen. But I guess my question would be, who's starting in the postseason? And then from there, who are you going to have in the bullpen? And yes, you would think a natural transition, because Holmes was a very good reliever, you would think maybe it'd be easier to move him back to the bullpen, and then you could have him be your seventh, eighth inning guy, whatever, because he's going to give you at least two innings. He could give you two good innings. That's one way to help. I like it. But if you do that, who's starting, let's just say, game three? We don't know about Tong yet. McLean's only had two starts. Maybe Tylor Megill could give you know, five innings along the way here, these final 30 games. I'm pushing it forward to the postseason, and I think all possibilities exist once you get to the playoffs, but maybe we shouldn't go that far just yet with the Mets not there yet. John is calling from Staten Island. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, Sally boy? How are you?
Good, John. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Here's my issue. I'm excited the Mets are playing better. I'm excited that they're hitting, but I have a real problem with Juan Soto right now. I've noticed, I watch every game like you do, he gets more frustrated when the umpire calls a ball a strike than when he strikes out. I have to worry about the bullpen. I got to worry about starting pitching. They should move him to the leadoff spot because he does not want to swing the bat.
No, I would not.
He
doesn't know how to swing the bat.
He doesn't want to swing the bat.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
He's looking for walks.
He has 32 home runs.
How does he have 120 walks then?
How does he have 132? How does he have 32 home runs?
Yes, of
if
course.
Can't say, John, that's what Soto does. He's not been at his best. By the way, now's not the time to pick on Soto. 20 games in, time to pick on Soto. Runners in scoring position.
Go ahead. I understand what you're saying. I love the fact that he's competitive and he wants to get on base because that's a win. All I'm saying is I don't love Marte in between him and Alonso. I would move him to the leadoff spot because what could it hurt?
Oh, none yet, but he's going to hit one, and thank you for the call, John. I understand the thought process. Evan's been going hard on this, on the afternoon show, talking about Soto should be leading off. I'm not doing it. I think it's a stupid idea. I would never have a player with Juan Soto's skill set leading off. I don't care how many solo home runs he's hit this year, how many three-run homers he had. I don't care. I would never, ever, ever in a million years have Juan Soto lead off. Now, I will agree with you that I don't like Marte or Nimmo in between Soto and Pete. It's not that hard. It should be Lindor, Soto, Alonso. You want to tell me you want to have Nimmo in between Pete and Vientos? I'm okay with that. But I would not have Marte, even though he's been okay, or Nimmo in between Pete and Soto. That to me is stupid. Pete's been their most prolific run producer this year. He's got to be up behind Soto. And you're picking on Soto because he has 100 walks. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, you guys call him Juan Solo. I call him 100. Everything in the hundreds. Now, he's got to get the ribbies up there, but I still think it's possible. He's at, 78, something like that, RBI? If he has a hot month in September, which he's very capable of doing, we've seen it before, he's going to have 100 runs scored, 100 walks, 100 ribbies, obviously over 100 hits. Juan Solo? 100! Zach is calling from Long Island. What's up, Zach?
I think we both kind of believe in the Mets to a certain extent. I think in order for them to win the World Series and not just, you know, kind of do some damage in the playoffs, it's going to have to come down to they need McLean and Tong to be frontline starters. They just don't have enough guys aside from them. It's possible, right? I mean, they have the potential. McLean's shown it already. I think that's their ticket to actually win the World Series, because without him, I just don't think they'll have enough.
You know, Zach, I like that you go there, and thank you for the call. And obviously there are tasks at hand prior to the World Series. Tonight, specifically, win tonight, cut the division lead to four, and now you're back in play for everything. And then it's going to be a final 29 games. It's going to be a battle with the – you hope that that's the case. And then if not, then it's getting to the playoffs. And then from there, you could start talking about the World Series. But you're right in that this team was built to compete to win a World Series. And try to do the math as to how they're going to get there, not as far as the games or how many wins, but with the pitching staff in the playoffs. They don't have an ace. Peterson's their best pitcher. You want to call him an ace? I'm fine. I mean, he was an all-star, but you get the point. Peterson is their best pitcher. He's game one. Fair enough. Manaea has not been the ace that they thought he could be, although he's been dominant just in spurts. Senga, I would not trust, period. Like, I would not. Me, personally, this is drastic. I don't care. I would not. As it stands right now, August 27th, I would not have Kodai Senga on my postseason roster, period. You saw what he did in the postseason last year. Wasn't very good. I know he's out the entire year for the most part. Fair enough. I've seen enough from Senga. Now, he's got to get himself righted here in the next 30 days. As of right now, I would not have Senga on the roster because I don't think you could trust him out of the bullpen, and I wouldn't trust him as a starter. So where does he fit exactly? Problem is with Tong, there's the potential there, yes, but there's the unknown. His dominance to me would play, just my opinion, would play better out of the bullpen. Now, I have to trust the Mets that they know what they're doing, although I think they were a day late and a dollar short as far as bringing up McLean and Tong here. I would have done it weeks ago. They waited till they felt it was right. Okay, fair enough. I'll trust them that they feel the best role for Tong as of now is to be in the starting rotation. But I would trust him more out of the pen. Now, if he goes out there and his lights out as a starter and you find two... Think of the odds of that. You're going to have two starters be lights out coming up from the minor leagues with McLean and Tong. That's going to help you in the postseason. Like, the odds against that are astronomical. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but you're asking a lot. But they do need, I don't know if I would say definitively as a starter, both McLean and Tong. One of them, yes, but they will need those guys to contribute in some way, shape, or form in big spots in the postseason, whether it is as a starter or out of the bullpen. And remember, if you actually do the math and lay it out with Manaea, Senga, Peterson, McLean, and Holmes, that's five guys right there. Throw in Tong, that's six. Sproat, Tylor Megill, just to give you an extra arms here. Like, they're going to have a nice pool to choose from to where they can trim the fat and get rid of the guys who can't get anybody out and decide how they are best going to use these guys. I think so far the only two givens, at least in my mind, even in just the two starts with McLean, the only two givens that I would have is that Peterson and McLean would be definitive starters come the postseason. From there, the options are, do you have Holmes start and Manaea piggyback him? Do you have Manaea start and Holmes piggyback him? Do you have both start and Tong or Sproat or Megill piggyback them? Like, there are options there. Do you move one of those guys to the eighth inning? They at least have some options that you can see the pieces put together for a team that could be a championship team. BT and Sal on the Fan, live here at the Salt Shack on Long Island, hanging out with Surfside for the day. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Phil is calling from Dublin, PA. What's up, Phil?
Hey there, Sal. How are you?
Good. How are you, Phil?
Good, good. I really feel like Aaron Judge is hurting the team at this point because, again, Stanton is going back to sitting on the bench tonight. And Who is carrying the team right now? Stanton. And I think that for the next four games, the reason being it's Washington and Chicago – that Aaron Judge should sit on the bench and heal and get his act together, because he hasn't been the same player. And I want Stanton in the lineup. And then I want a healthy Judge. And I think if he gets 3-4 days off, he's going to come back and be 100%.
You know, that's a thing that, and thank you for the call, Phil, that's a thing that we said early when Judge came back. You know, you understood taking Stanton out of the lineup because it's Aaron Judge. However, Stanton was in the midst of a heater, and that heater is still going on. So it's impossible to fathom taking him out of the lineup for anybody. But it's big, bad Aaron Judge. If Judge really wanted to do what was best for the team, he'd say, you know what, I'm going to sit down until I'm ready to play the outfield. I know it sounds crazy, it sounds ludicrous. The reality is, to your point, Stan's carrying them offensively right now. He's on the heater. You're going to take him out. Judge has not been peak Aaron Judge. He struggled since coming back. Ultimately, you need to have both guys in the lineup. Stan's tried to do his part by being in the outfield. Obviously, it's not going to be a regular thing for him. Can't do it on back-to-back days. Or, you know, can't do it for the most, you know, he did the back-to-back days and then said his body wasn't responding. I don't know how it's possible when you're built the way that John Carlos Stanton is built. But either way, Judge talked tough and ripped his manager when his manager said he doesn't think Judge will ever be able to throw 100% or whatever it was that he said to us. And John Boy, by the way, he said that a couple of different times. It wasn't even a big deal. Like, it's a fact. Judge is not going to be 100% again throwing the ball in right field. How about this? Can we actually get him in the outfield? You don't need 100% of Judge's arm. You do need Judge and Stanton in the lineup together, especially when Stan's on this heater. So, yeah, it is hurting the team. Luckily for them, they're playing the Nationals now, and the schedule softens up. But how could you justify ever taking John Carlos Stanton out of the bat out of the lineup when he's on this type of run? You can't. Ralph is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Ralph?
They do that, Sal, because every single thing, you touched on it, it prompted my call. Every single thing that they do is predetermined. It doesn't matter that if he hit 4 home runs yesterday, he'd be sitting on the bench today. That's exactly how they see it. And that 100-pitch count drives me insane, but I don't want to get into this. But the one thing that I like to talk about is the way it's situated, where you have your 6th-inning guy, your 7th-inning guy, 8th-inning, so on and so forth. This whole strategy, this whole protocol has to go by the boards. You have to manage by the hot hand, whether it's offense, defense, pitching. You have to put these guys in the spot they can excel, and they just don't do that. Because, Sal, as you mentioned, and you were quite right, every single thing is predetermined. 30 games, 30-some-odd games left in the season, Sal. They have everything down. You could bet that Boone has a little book where he has everything down, what he's going to do tomorrow, the next day after that. There's nothing spontaneous whatsoever going on.
It drives me nuts, Ralph, and thank you for the call. And I'm not opposed to information. I'm not opposed to matchup-based stuff at times. What I'm opposed to is having it 100% determined ahead of the time, ignoring what you might see. Forget about what you are seeing. They are ignoring what they might see in tonight's game because they've already predetermined Volpe's going to – I'm just using an example here. Volpe's going to have 2 days off the next couple of days. Or remember, this happened in June when we were at Fanatics Fest. Volpe was told he was going to have off the next day or something like that. He was in the midst of one of his many slumps this year. Really, the whole season's been a slump. I mean, not everybody's going to acknowledge that, but it's the reality. Whole season's been a slump, a disaster, a failure by any measurement. Show me the stats, show me whatever you want. I'm watching with my own eyes. It's been an awful year. For a guy that they said was going to be a superstar shortstop, it's been pathetic what Anthony Volpe's done this year. I'm not trying to pick on him. I'm just calling it how it is. He's been awful. How many times you got to go through these ruts throughout the course of 1 year, one season? When it says he's got to be benched, he should be sent down, he's not hitting. Like, it's been all year long. It's all year long with Volpe. Anyway, in June, we were at the Fanatics Fest. It was the day that Clark Schmidt almost threw the no-hitter. And I think Volpe was supposed to have the day off the next day or something like that. And he goes nuts and has 3 hits in that game. But yet he sat the next day because it was predetermined. That's stupid. All these guys, baseball thinks that it's gotten smart. They think that they've gotten smarter than everybody else. They're not. They're dumber. They're just getting dumber by the day. with all these metrics and all this nonsense. So much so that you hear now, and you heard this on the broadcast, I think it was on Sunday night against the Red Sox, that when it comes to catching, and it's important as it pertains to Ben Rice, who the Yankees love as a catcher, only issue is he can't throw, and he's not good at blocking balls. Is that it? Is that it? Where I come from, that's what catching is. You catch the ball, you block the ball, you throw a runner out. Yeah, obviously calling a game is a part of that, but that's what catching is. So now we're going to dismiss that? And that's what they do. But baseball's too smart now. They're so smart that block balls doesn't matter. It's all about framing. Framing. That's how smart baseball has gotten with these Ivy League guys. All the data, all the information, all the analytics, they're so smart that they can predetermine lineups a week out, a week ahead of time, without seeing what happens in tonight's game. We can predetermine something. Like that to me is stupid. I didn't go to an Ivy League school, though. So, what do I know? This summer, stay cool and hydrated with the official water of Major League Baseball, Primo Brands. With Primo Brands water delivery, you get premium hydration from trusted brands like Poland Spring, Pure Life, and Saratoga delivered right to your door. Stock up for game day or just keep everyone refreshed, still sparkling or flavored. There's something for everyone. And the best part, you call the shots. Whether you need a few cases or a full week supply, Primo's flexible delivery fits your schedule. So step up to the plate, hydrate like a pro with Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. And even Williams early on, like, you could see that he was pitching to a little bit bad luck. Talk about the first time he was bad, to start the year. That's why I'm hesitant to give up on relievers. There was never a player, or a reliever specifically, that I was more definitive on being toast in New York than Edwin Diaz. Wasn't going to say that he couldn't write his career and be successful somewhere else. The way Diaz started his Mets career in 2019, I would never, I've said it a million times here, SNY, he will never have success in New York. And years later, now there's been some inconsistency, sure, but after what he did in 2022, I mean, he was one of the best relievers I've ever seen. And then again this year, look at him last night just blowing guys away. They're not even touching him. Five out save, six outs could be for Diaz. He has been lights out. A little shaky sometimes, and the fact that he ignores the runners drives you nuts. But, man, he has – I think Edwin Diaz is the best closer in the history of the Mets. I'm not talking about numbers or compiling for how many years. I'm talking about sheer dominance in individual seasons. And I love Johnny Franco, and you can make the case that he's the best closer. Maybe Johnny himself would do it. Familia had excellent season 2015, 2016, both times. I don't think that you could compare to Edwin Diaz's dominance in 2022 and then again this year. He has just been lights out. All right, let's get back to the calls here. We're going to have Clem from Surfside on coming up in a little bit as we got to rekindle our bet here. And I will say that the spot was scheduled prior to the Mets taking the first two. And it's going to be a lot more fun from my perspective with the Mets taking the first two as we have that bet going on with the division here. But before we get to Clem from Surfside, let's get to Clem from Rockland, who loves his Surfside. What's up, Clem?
You know, it's funny. As my daughter, we're dropping her off Friday to Fairfield University, and she told my wife, can we go here, can we go there and buy pillow covers, this, that, whatever. And then she comes to me, hey, Dad, any chance you can pick me up 10 cases, 5 lemonade, 5 tea, you know, for Fairfield. So I'm going to head to our neighborhood liquor store later and get her Surfsides and pack them up in a secret suitcase so my wife doesn't see, because she's not as, like, party-oriented as I am. So my daughter always knows where to go when she needs her Surfsides. And by the way, remind Clem, he forgot about brother Clem.
No, he said he sent it. They sent it. I was told that they sent it to you. So Yeah, so come on.
I hope the UPS guy ain't getting drunk on my Surfside.
No, I was told that I could ask Clem, but I was told your package has been on the way. By the way, I know you're in Rockland, but you should come down to Babylon here at the Salt Shack. We got Surfside flowing all day long. It's great. I can't wait to get some myself once we sign off here. The second I sign off and you hear those commercials going to the Yankee pregame, I'm going to be having some Surfsides. Anyway, what do you got? What's on your mind, Clem?
You should. All right, so listen, this is what I need. There's a lot of different things that can obviously happen the next few months in baseball. But the only way to really know where the Mets will be is I need Sal Stradamus right now to look deep, deep, deep into his crystal balls and see and tell me where will the Mets be in October. I'll hang up and hopefully I'll see you later for some curbside.
When you say where will they be, you mean where will they end up in October?
Yeah, will we be playing baseball still, or will we be watching from the outside? Will we be golfing? Will we be drinking surfsides? You know,
Sal Stradamus just
look deep, deep.
Sal Stradamus needed to know, Clement. Thank you for the call, and we appreciate you checking in. Sal Stradamus needs to just figure out, get the parameters of what do you mean by where they'll be come October. And as I look into the crystal ball, I do see the postseason for the Mets. I felt that for a while. If they didn't make the playoffs, it would be a freaking disaster. Now, it's twofold. Like, you could just say, well, yeah, the Mets are going to make the playoffs. Okay, well, why are they going to make the playoffs? Number one, I do believe the Mets are a good team. Now, are they good enough to World Series standards? That's a different conversation. But I do believe the Mets are a good team, a team worthy of a playoff spot. Secondly, I don't think the Reds are very good. Like, we don't watch the Reds every day, but come on. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that if the Mets can't beat out the Reds for the final wild card, what are we doing here? This is New York. They get the highest payroll in the sport. Oh, and by the way, it's not just about the money you spend. They actually have good players. The Reds? Come on. If they got caught by the Reds, it would be worse than the collapse. Maybe not the individual collapse in 2007, meaning 7-game lead, 17 to go. Like, that in itself is bad. But as far as the result goes, I think this would actually be worse than that. I really do. Not make the playoffs with an expanded postseason? With their payroll? What, are you kidding? So, yes, Clem. As Sal Stradamus looks into the crystal ball, I do see playoffs. I also see there's something. What is that? Hold on, let me dig a little bit deeper. What am I seeing there? I see a 2. No, it's not a 2. Oh, 22. I see 22 on fire. What could that mean, Hoff? I see the number 22 catching fire as I look into the crystal ball. You have any idea what that might mean?
I hope it's not Halsey running out.
No, 22, okay. The number 22, just the number, like if you envision, 22. I can't see clearly. Sal Stradamus looking into the future. Hoff, this shouldn't be that hard. 22.
Right.
The number 22 on fire. Do you know what that would mean, if anything, as it pertains to the Mets?
Oh, wait. Mr. Soto?
Soto. I see the Mets in October, and I see 22 on fire. Are we taking a break here? Okay, BT and Sal on the Fan will come back. We'll have a little fun with Clem from Surfside. Get his thoughts as this Philly's on the verge of choking things away. Four distinct all-electric Cadillacs. Some drive them for the performance. Others drive them for the range. And some drive them because it's the only way to make an entrance. Three different ways to turn every drive into an occasion. Whatever your reason, there's never been a better time to say, let's take the Cadillac. The all-electric Lyriq Cadillac family of vehicles, Escalade IQ, the Vistiq, Optiq, and Lyriq. Visit your Tri-State Cadillac dealer today. The BT and Sal Show is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Come by if you're on the island. It is a great venue. The surf sides are flowing. I can't wait to get off the air so I can have some. Got to be responsible. Right now, the man responsible for a wager that we have here on the BT and Sal Show, Clem. Clem from Surfside joins us. We had Clem from Rockland, who loved Surfside before. Clem from Philly, of course, huge Phillies fan and Sixers fan and Eagles fan. If you're not familiar with it, we had a bet months ago, Clem, when we had you on the air, where we put the division on the line, Mets, Phillies for the division, whereas if the Phillies won, I have to dress up as a Philly, BT maybe in a Surfside can costume, and if the Mets win, you got to send us another full palette of the delicious Surfsides. How you feeling, Clem, after these first two games of this all-important series right now?
Listen, Sal, you know, not great with the first two games, but still got a 5-game lead. I just checked the odds. Phils are minus 750 to win the division. Mets are plus 500. I mean, how are you feeling, I guess, is the question.
Well, I'll tell you this. On Sunday, I felt like it was over, and I was disappointed because I was like, ah, man, they didn't even give us any fun as far as the division goes for the final month of the season. But after these first two, I don't know, Clem, your Phils are looking tight here, and all of a sudden, not only have the Mets had their number, but that number goes from 7 to 5. If the Mets win tonight, your Phillies, I think, are in some
trouble.
That's
a big one. That's the kicker. I mean, we take this one back, it's back up to 6. You guys complete the sweep, we all of a sudden, we got a division race.
I mean, you've been texting me, you and Spike texting me about Durant and the Phillies. And then I watched Durant last night.
I mean, what happened
night.
To Durant? They said that was the first ever. Pete told me that's the first time Durant ever gave up 4 hits without recording an out. First time ever. I think we're cursed. We're cursed at Citi Field. And I don't know why. We sponsored him. We've got Surfside flowing there. It should be good juju for us.
That is a great point, Clem. I'll tell you, if you blow – now, you remember the 17 games to go, 7-game lead that the Mets had that your Phillies stole from the Mets. Maybe it's a little reversal here with 7-game deficit with 32 to go. Now it's 5 with 30. I mean, maybe you could be on the wrong end of this this historic collapse potentially from your Phils, who look tight, and the Mets have their number. There's no doubt about it.
No. You know, listen, no question. I'm still confident, but I see some cracks in the armor. You know, Duran hasn't looked right since he had that injury scare. We obviously lost Wheeler. You know, Castellanos never saw a pitch he didn't like to swing at. And, you know, the vibes have gone a little bit down. But we still got 30 games. Still think we got the better squad. But I do think it's important. We got to break this Citi Field first. I don't want to be going into the playoffs with the mental hangover that we can't win in that building. Got to get that monkey off our back.
Well, that's the other thing. You could win the division, but you know if these two teams meet in the playoffs, you may have a similar fate to what you saw last year and what you saw with the Knicks and Sixers a couple years ago.
God, I got to win one off of you, man. This is going to be brutal. I got to get at least one here. I mean, we're going to have to do an Eagles-Giants bet just to give me a little cushion here.
Yeah, what do you think? I am some sort of sucker, Clem? I don't know if I could do that. I'll tell you this. If you don't win this, if the Phillies don't win this division head-to-head with the Mets, I mean, that will be as bad, almost as bad as the 2007 collapse. So, and you know me. I want to see the Mets win the division, but I really want to see them win the division so I can have myself some Surfside. I need that pallet of Surfside. Playoffs is going to be great, but it's going to taste even better if we get that pallet of Surfside over to the fan.
Absolutely. I mean, for you, it will be. Either way, for me, it'll be sweet. But the other thing you should know, you know, when they do play, hopefully, inevitably, in the playoffs, you got to come down to Philly. We just made a big sponsorship down there. And I know, believe me, I'm all too familiar with how well New Yorkers travel to Philly for games. I think they say it's still cheaper for New Yorkers to come down, buy a ticket, and spend a night in a hotel than it is to buy a ticket in New York. So we get way more New York fans than I would like. But if you're familiar with the Philly sports complex, right in the middle of all the stadiums is this huge mega sports bar complex. It was formerly called Xfinity Live, but it's about to be called, and in time for the playoffs, it will be called Stateside Live. So we are the new sponsor of that venue, and the Surfside and the Stateside will be flowing. So look forward to hosting you and hopefully not too many of your rambunctious New York fans.
No, I'm not coming alone. We're coming down in droves, Clem. I got news for you. I saw that. I'm excited for it. Mark my words, I will be there, especially if it's Mets Phils, no doubt about it. By the way, before we let you go, somebody told me here, you know, we're hanging out at the Salt Shack. We miss you. Wish you guys were here, but we got Surfside all over the place. I was told that there's a new flavor coming. Is that true?
Maybe not ready for announcement, but I will definitely maybe when we settle our bet at the end of the season, it might be time. But yeah, we always got to have something up our sleeve a little bit, right, and keep it fresh. So
you got to tell them be careful. You got to tell them be careful telling the radio people the news that's not ready for air yet, because I was almost going with it. But either way, I love all the flavors. I'm excited for the new flavor, hopefully when we do have that breaking. And we'll revisit this one more time at least before it's over with the division, Clem, with the Mets and Phillies. But we love to have you. Congrats with everything that's gone on with Surfside. Best of luck, even though I want to win this bet. Best of luck to your Phils the rest of the way here.
Thank you, my friend. And hey, shout out to Sal from Rockland. We sent him a little care package, so hopefully he's enjoying that in the remaining days of summer.
Hoff has one question for you here, Clem, too, before we
leave. Clem, by the way, I went to Sal's this weekend, and he had a bunch of Surfside, and there was a flavor that I never had before, and we need more of that when we win the division. So please send over the green tea, peach, and mango.
Oh, you like the green tea? The new flavors with the green tea.
Yeah, no, that I mean, I love them all, but that mango one is dangerous, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Clem. You're the man. We appreciate the few minutes.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
All right, Clem. See, yeah, it would have been a different tone. I was like, oh, God, we got to have Clem on, but the division's kind of over. Luckily, the Mets have won these two games in a row here, and now all of a sudden it's getting tight in Philadelphia. Matter of fact, they have one of their hosts on IP, went on this rant, you know, kind of like he's stealing my material. Joe Giglio, you're stealing my material. I did this years ago. And by the way, I didn't do it as material. I did it because I really thought the Mets were going to win the division in 2022. And then because of the publicity that that got after the Mets, of course, famously blew the division, now other guys want to go out there. You know, Marash does the same thing. The division is over. Evan's been having fun with that. Now Giglio goes out there on WIP and says that the division is over. The Phillies are going to win it. All of a sudden, Joe's going to feel the wrath of his Philly fans if things start going the wrong way. They were talking about if the Phillies sweep the Mets, they're going to be up 10. Well, no. Phillies can't sweep the Mets. They can't even win the series. They better make sure they get tonight. Otherwise, it's going to be a big problem.
Are you going to delete your tweet that you put up?
No.
That post?
No, because I told you. I'm not lying. This is not a hope thing. It's not a bit. I really believed that the Mets were going to win the division. I held out hope as long as I could. Right before this series. I could have held out a little bit longer, I guess, because definitively to me, if they lose one game here, then it's over. But they might not lose a game. We'll see what happens tonight. All right, let's get back to the phones here, Hoff. Actually, you need me to break or no? Where are we at with that?
No, we're good. We can just take another phone call. Why not?
Okay, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Fun to talk to Clem, of course, from Surfside. Great dude, and obviously the Surfside's great. You know who else loves Surfside? Mitchell is in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitchell?
Hello, Sal. How you doing, buddy? Guess what? I've already had five of them already, five Surfsides already, and I'm having a great time in Bahamas, baby. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, there we go.
Going down
maybe
great.
Maybe we finally get a good call from you now that you have five Surfsides. What's up? What's on your mind today, Mitch?
Okay. Here we go, Sal. You know what's interesting? Like, you talked about the Mets, I feel the same way about the Yankees. When the Yankees were down 7.5 games to Toronto, I said, oh, boy, here we go. Then the Yankees give us a few wins, and we feel a little bit better. Then they come to Boston. They came in and they beat us 3 out of 4. It's like, oh, my God. Now we're only 4.5 games out. The Yankees just have to play well today, go to Houston, and then next weekend to get the Blue Jays for 3 games. If the Yankees can get lucky, Blue Jays lose 2 games, they come next weekend, we could be tied after next Sunday for the division, baby. We got a race going on, Sal, and hope you'll be with me for one of those games.
The next time I might set foot in the stadium, Mitchell, and thank you for the call. Always good to hear from you. Glad you're enjoying your vacation and appreciate taking the time to call. I do believe the division race is still on for the Yankees. Put it this way. Clem was saying, oh, how do you feel about the Mets division? I'm holding now as it pertains to the Mets, it's more hope-based than belief-based. I believe the Yankees can still win the American League East because I don't think Toronto is that good and because the Yankees' schedule is very soft down the stretch. So I believe the Yankees can still win the division. I don't believe at my core that the Mets are going to win the division. I hope it. If they win tonight, maybe that could change it. I think there's a long way to go, though. I don't believe at my core that they're going to be a division. I mean, think about what it would take. Not only do they have to sweep the Phillies, meaning win again tonight, get it to 4, they're still 4 games back with 29 to go. That's a lot. And the Mets themselves have not – look, they haven't earned my belief. I held out as long as I could. If they swept Atlanta, it would have been a different story. If they played better against the freaking Nats and the Braves over the course of those 12 games, the 12-game stretch ahead of the series – you know, I was expecting 9-3, 8-4, the worst. They went 6-6. Not good enough. So even with a sweep of the Phillies, it gets things back to maybe, yeah, it's possible, but still not likely. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. Just get in. Brett is on Long Island, who I haven't talked to since the overnight days. Brett, where are you? Coming out to the Salt Shack or what?
Now, if Daniel Jones gets the Colts to the playoffs or even a Super Bowl, I'm coming in the studio and you're kissing my goddamn feet after the abuse.
Why are you talking about Daniel Jones still? It's over. It's over. Are you a Colts fan now?
No, the Giants were horrible. I told you that. You said he sucks. If he does good, you're wrong, and you better admit it.
It's over. I am no longer talking about Daniel Jones. I don't do sports in Indianapolis. I am a New York sports talk host. You want to talk about the Giants?
You talk sports. Sal, you talk sports, all teams. What are you talking about?
No, New York sports.
He's a starting quarterback.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. For the Colts. Why do you care about the Colts, Brett?
You said Daniel Jones was good. You said he's the worst.
Let it go. Let it go. You love Daniel Jones more than you love the Giants. It's over. It's over. Talk about Jack. They've got three quarterbacks that can throw the ball better left-handed than Daniel Jones. Forget about Daniel Jones.
You get them to the playoffs right now.
Where are you? I am on Long Island. I am at the Salt Shack. Where are you?
That's my spot.
But where are you?
I'm working right now. I go there. My wife worked there. It used to be the beach hut. That's my spot right
Man, well, right now it's my spot. It's our spot. We're all hanging out here having some surf sides. What time do you get off? I'm going to be here for a while. You going to come down and hang out?
So the port side was your spot. I make your mind up.
The what was my spot?
Port Jefferson.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I'm saying right now I'm hanging out. And thanks for the call, Brett. We appreciate you checking in. Good to hear from you. Dude, you got to move on from Daniel Jones. It's over. He's a cult. Why? I mean, I thought the best part about Daniel Jones moving on was that we didn't have to talk about him anymore. Why are you calling talking about that? You could talk about Jackson Dart. You could talk about Russell Wilson. You could even talk about Tommy DeVito, who, by the way, was supposed to shed a tear. Poor Tommy DeVito. Like, I like Tommy DeVito. I thought he was better than Daniel Jones. But, I mean, this is not a sad thing. This is a great thing. Tommy DeVito getting cut by the Giants means that the Giants are better. They actually have three quarterbacks better than Tommy DeVito. That's a great thing. This is a great day for the Giants cutting Tommy DeVito. Oh, my God, the tears shed yesterday. What are we doing here? Oh, Tommy is cut. No more cutlets. Yeah, that's great. You want the stupid emojis and the cutlets, or you want some wins? Now you've got hope with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and obviously Jackson Dart. Legit hope and reason to believe. Good God, Daniel Jones and Tommy DeVito. Come on. By the way, NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, am I right? But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We'll take a quick break, come back with more of your calls. Hope to have Jerry Recco joining us once he actually shows up here. He's probably stuck in traffic after doing the morning show with Willie, but he's on his way to hang out. If you're in the area, come by at the Salt Shack, Babylon, Long Island. Beautiful down here, perfect weather. Surfsides are flowing. Can't wait to get off the air here at 12:30 and have some surfsides with you.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.